I started meditating on this last week.
Amen.
And you talk about going through some stuff. I done fell up the stairs again. Up the stairs, not down. Legs didn't want to lift up to go up the stairs.
Come on, tell me about it, man.
I told First Lady, just let me lay here a minute. Don't get me up. Just let me lay here.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I laid there for quite some time, praying.
Amen.
Thank you, God, I didn't break nothing again.
That's right.
Or rip nothing.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
God is good, ain't he?
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes, he is. God is so good. I thank God for the blessings.
Amen.
Yes. Man, I've been on this. This has been all week. Early this morning, just about 3:30 in the morning, God was dealing with me about David. You know, dealing with me about David. You know, it says David danced out of his clothing. Not his natural clothing, but he danced out of his flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Because he realized something about God.
Right. Yeah.
God said David was the apple of his eye.
Right.
This morning, God was showing me why David was the apple of his eye. Because David realized that he had to repent for his transgressions,
right,
and it wasn't nobody's fault but his own. That's why God loved David.
Yeah.
Because David said, Lord, I done messed up again, but here I am before you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please forgive me.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Job went through all the stuff he went through.
Yeah.
But the good thing about it was, Satan couldn't touch him.
That's right.
He wanted to. He would have had no greater joy than being able to afflict him.
That's right.
But God had confidence in Job. I trust my servant.
Amen.
What you want me to do to him?
Yeah, come on.
Come on,
took all his stuff from him.
Come on now.
His kids. But it didn't turn on God.
Right.
Tell you what, Lord, if you touch his body, I bet he curse you. God touched his body, but it didn't curse God.
That's right.
He wasn't happy about it.
Right.
He whined some. Then had insult to injury. His wife turned on him.
Right.
Lord, have mercy.
Have mercy.
Then he went to his friends for help. Prophets of the Lord. And they tried to convince him that he had missed God. That's why he was going through what he was going through. But in the long run, he realized, Lord, though you slay me, yet shall I serve you. I'm going to bless you anyway.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Because he realized, if you read it all the books all the way through, you realize at the end of the book, he realized that his shortcoming was in himself.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 The church is going to be the first to be judged.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And if we don't get our acts together, you know the old saying, they're going to hell in a handbasket. It won't be no handbasket because it ain't going to be big enough.
That's right. Come on now.
I remember reading in the scriptures, Mickey, where it says hell is enlarging itself. Because those that were committed to go, it's going to be a whole bunch of church folk that are going to join them. So it's not big enough. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I hear things, and I hear devout men and women of God saying things in places where I go concerning scripture and concerning flesh and concerning Satan and the devil and all this other stuff. Slewfoot. But then I heard Jesus say, listen, Satan, meaning adversary,
yeah.
Devil,
uh-huh.
Accuser of the brethren.
All right.
Man shall not live according to his flesh.
Hallelujah.
But he shall live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
It's time to live according to this word.
Amen.
Amen.
I've been hearing on TV, on the radio. I've visited some of my friends' churches because they've had their anniversaries in the church house. In this church. Contemplating whether Satan is strong enough. Y'all ain't hearing me. How many here filled with the Spirit of God?
Amen.
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 You know you're filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Yes.
Come on,
Pastor. Open books to the book of Romans. Seventh chapter. A scholar of scripture. Before Jesus set him free, he was a scholar of scripture. Decided in himself, by the time he got to the seventh chapter, that something was wrong. That he done missed something.
Yeah.
Lord, I done missed something.
Yes.
I'm still going through all this hell. I got all this affliction going on in me. I done missed something. You got to show me what it is. The word of God says, for now it's been known that we might know the mysteries that have been hidden through the ages.
Yeah. Yeah.
The problem is, people don't want to know.
Come on.
It's easier to blame our genetic order for being stupid. If you don't love your brethren, I got news for you.
That's right. Amen.
You the big S.
That's right.
Say that.
Paul realized that there was something going on in him which was creating conflict. Oh, Lord. Seventh chapter, the seventh verse. I don't have all day to mess with this. The seventh chapter, the seventh verse. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. This is called an introversion and an extension or extended alternation. Whereas scripture jumps. It's funny that Brother Andy and I were talking about that this morning. All scripture isn't based on scripture verse upon verse. That's why we get confused when we read the Bible. Because the first, second, and third verse might be talking about friendship. The fourth, fifth, and seventh verse might be talking about lust.
Amen.
You may not pick up where it's talking about friendship again until the 8th, 9th, and 10th verse.
Come on now.
That's why we have to study to show ourselves approved.
Break it down, Pastor. Break it down.
I decided, I don't usually write notes. I like to write in my Bible, but I wrote this down because I really want you to understand what this verse is saying. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. Mm-hmm. What then do we do? Conclude. Is the law identical with sin? Certainly not. Nevertheless, if it had not been for the law, I would not have recognized sin or have known its meaning. I would not have known about covetousness. I would not have known, my consciousness would not have been awakened of sin or sense of guilt if the law had not repeatedly said, you shall not covet, and have an evil desire for one thing or another. It was the law that, when it kept repeating itself, that showed them that they couldn't live this life. And what it did, it awakened the old man in them. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. Listen, but sin, the old nature, finding opportunity in the commandment, it found opportunity in the commandment because it realized that there was no way in the world I could live according to the law without God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It found opportunity to express itself. It got a hold of me, listen to this, and aroused and stimulated all kind of forbidden desires.
Wow. Yeah.
When we were kids growing up, Mama used to always tell me, if you do that, I'm going to get you. Well, she said it enough times, I realized in me, if I did it, whether she was around or not, I felt guilt.
That's right.
Because what she said had become a law.
Amen.
God don't hear
me. Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. Amen.
Amen. For I was alive without the law once. When we was out there, we was living.
Oh, now. Say that.
I don't know about you, but I partied hard. I partied so hard sometimes, Sister Benfield. I'd leave and run, be so tired and high, I'd run my car into a pylon. Get out and leave it and go home. Bandage myself up. Get ready for the next day. Realize, go back, go look out front. Wasn't no car out there. Had to sit down and configure in my head, where'd I leave that car? I party. Get home some nights. My mother would call me. Boy! You better get up here. What is she bugging me for now? What time did you get home this morning? I said, probably about 2. Why, Mom? I'm 20. The only reason I'm back at home now is because somebody broke in my apartment. So I went back home until I could build up some more finance. I said, why? You know your car out front still running? Remind you, it's 10 a.m. the next morning. I done got out of the car, left my car out front, running in the house. Listen to me. When I first joined the church, I wasn't right yet.
Amen.
Got out of the car, Brother Joe, left my car running with the keys in it, couldn't get back in it. Went in the garage, got me a crowbar, and knocked the window out.
Wow.
Turned the car off. and went about my business, going back to work. But what sane man gonna knock out a window? He know he's gonna have to replace. When there's other avenues to get in the car.
Yes.
Common sense says, call a locksmith. Flesh say, you don't have no money for no locksmith. Common sense say, get a hanger. Go in. Flesh say, you don't have time to get a hanger. Flesh say, just knock the window out.
Yeah.
So I knocked the window out. Wasn't nothing wrong with me knocking the window out. Didn't know anything about it until a couple years later when I decided I wanted to give my heart and life to God and sat back and realized I knocked my window out. Now I'm feeling guilty because everybody see me knock my window out. Sheridan thought I was hilarious. I come to church blow. Brother Harvey required that you be in church. If you worked at this church, he required you be in church at least twice a Sunday night and Wednesday. Well, I was here. I was doing my job. But I was blown. I thought y'all was the funniest people I've ever seen in my life. I sit in the back, I'd be rolling. I done snorted about $100 worth of coke, and I'm sitting up in there watching folks fall out. I said, Lord, I'll call on the Lord. Lord, what's going on in here? I get to my boy and say, man, you are sober. Man, you ain't never seen nothing like this. You ought to come. My flesh was off the chain. But the more I started hearing that preaching, I started feeling guilty about it. So I wait till after I leave church to get high. Hey, that's a big change. That's progress.
Woo, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to tell you about the flesh.
Thank
you. He'd go to church
and
absolutely enjoy himself.
Yes, he will.
He will party in church.
Amen.
Let somebody high come over here. They're going to have more fun than you. You're going to have to take them to the chair. Paul realized that this thing was going on in him.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, the old man decided, hello! Bet you didn't know I was in here, did you? He was revived. He had been there all the time.
All the time.
That's right.
You didn't know he was there. You thought she was doing your thing.
That's right.
But she was doing his thing. He was constantly taking and separating you more and more from the measure of faith that God had placed in your life.
Amen.
I didn't mean to say all this.
Come on.
And then I died. That's when I realized, Reverend Grant,
yeah.
that I was dead in trespasses and sin. Now I'm trying to figure out how do I get myself straightened out.
That's right.
But the old man is saying, I got you. You're not going nowhere. Go do something, and then I feel guilty about it. When before, there was no guilt. Man, that was off the chart. I love that. I got to try that again. We were on our way to Chicago one weekend to do television. The guy said, "Dan, look what we got." I said, "What is that?" "We got some purple mescaline." I go, "What is that?" "It's a little bitty pill." I go, "Wow, I bet I can handle that." Right. We traveling down the freeway doing about 65 miles an hour. I'm trying to get out the window, the door. Then open the door, finna jump out. Tripping. Didn't think nothing was wrong with it. They told me about what I did. I thought it was funny. But let me do it now. I couldn't live with myself. Guilt would eat me alive.
Amen.
How many of you ever felt the power of guilt? That's that old man. I got to get going here. And the commandment which was ordained to life, the commandment was that I live. But when the flesh recognized that God had gave me something that it was impossible for me to live by without his grace and his mercy, he stepped to the plate and began to show me just how vulnerable I was. Years ago, I was praying, and I was saying, this was years ago, "Lord, what is this? I'm tired." Now, I'm working. I didn't turn my life around, then cut stuff loose, then cut people loose, but I'm still struggling with things. And I couldn't understand why. And I kept hearing them preach, "It's the devil." But then I kept reading that Jesus defeated the devil. And took the keys to death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
Then I realized something. God said, "Let me show you something." He said, "Open your Bible." And I opened my Bible to the 7th chapter of Romans.
That's right.
And it messed me up. I'm like, "What is this?" Then I realized that man himself is a spirit.
Come on.
And he has the ability to have stuff in him. Okay. That's why it's, not today.
That's right.
Not today.
That's right.
Don't mess me up.
That's right.
For the manifestations of the flesh.
Yes.
I need a drink. Can somebody get that Galatians, please? Lord, you're taking me a whole different direction. Galatians. It works. There are things that, listen to me, he works at in us. You got it,
man? Yeah. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God."
But the fruit?
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
You know what threw me for a loop, pastors? When I come to the conclusion that I was born with all this stuff in me. It's higher here. We teach that it's a learned skill. How is it possible that somebody that's never been around adultery commits adultery? Because it's already in them. Ooh, Lord, I felt that. I'm about to, Sister Grant, I'm about to look like you. I'm about to lose it up here. Ooh, Lord, I'd like to see you when you go. I'm about to lose it.
Yeah.
It's already in us.
Yep. Yep.
That's why we need God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
You can't do this on your own.
No.
That's right.
Well, I hear folks tell their kids, First Lady, your daddy was a drunk. Your oldest brother was a drunk. And you going to be a drunk.
No.
Don't have to be.
No. Amen. Amen.
The ability to do it is in you.
That's right.
But you don't have to.
That's right. That's right. Man. That's right.
Man.
This is everything Paul is seeing in him.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how frightened he was when he saw this thing working in him?
Yeah.
Realize. For sin taking occasion, for the old nature, obtained an opportunity through the commandment of God, through the word.
Yeah.
And it deceived me. He tricked me.
Yeah.
He seduced me.
Yeah.
Listen to this one. He outwitted me.
Yeah. Come on.
And through it, he turned me into a dead man. I was slew. He slew me by it.
Yeah.
Now again, I'm what? Dead and trespasses and sin.
Yes.
Why? Because Adam already said, you are going to be Eve, the mother of all living.
Yeah.
But they had already sinned. So everything that was born under Eve after that point was born into death and sin. He wakened me on the inside and I realized that I was dead. But you know what the good thing about it is? The grace and the mercy of God said, I've come that you might have life. And you don't have to die.
Thank you.
And Paul, when I realized this, I was like, Lord, I can't preach that in this church. I didn't preach this. It was years after God began to teach me this about the old man that I finally got up and said something, and it almost got me whacked. And let me tell you how God worked. The first time he allowed me to minister on this was in the first time they said, Pastor, I said, you know what, Brother Dennis, I want you to preach on Wednesday morning in the Heart Brothers. I said to myself, I made it. You don't know how special that is.
Yes, amen.
I say, I've arrived, Brother Andy.
Amen.
And then I get up there and I'm going to preach on prosperity. I said, no. It's like the fan had fans on. My book blew right open to the 7th chapter of Romans. I said, oh, no, you not. And neither am I. And I couldn't get a thought together. I was lost. I'm like, Jesus, you cannot. You ain't put me. And it was missionaries and pastors and prophets and so-called prophets and apostles and so-called apostles and evangelists and so on from all over. And I'm like, oh no, we're not finna go there. But God said, if you don't, I'll take what I gave you and give it to somebody that'll use it. And I decided, well, here we go. And when God got to telling people it was time to accept responsibility for your own actions, whether you're a prophet, an evangelist, a teacher, or a pastor, It was so quiet in that place.
Yes.
I said, Brother Hart going to kill me. Brother Hart pat me on the back and smiled. But it was not without persecution.
That's come right.
on. All right.
People that were here, family members, gave me the flux. Tried to turn him against me.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to take it back.
That's right.
Okay.
It was already out there.
Yeah.
And I hit the ground running.
Come on.
But I paid a price.
Yeah.
I've made more mistakes. And I've been through more hell. I've got myself in more trouble because of this flesh, because of the revelation that God gave me, that I will stop blaming somebody else and accept responsibility for my own mess. Paul said, Lord, why have you sent Satan to buffet me?
Yeah.
Remember, Satan is the adversary.
Right.
What was the adversary? Was in him, because he's constantly reminded of all the Christians.
Yeah.
He's the tormented, persecuted, afflicted, burned, threw in the pit, in prison. You ever, your flesh ever reminds you about somebody you did bad?
Yeah.
And you never had a chance to get right with it.
Right.
He said, for the law is holy, but the commandment holy and just. He said, it ain't the law's fault. It's what's in me. I'm finna just read a lot now. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. No, it wasn't made death unto me. But sin, the old man, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful, that it might drive me. For we know that the law is spiritual because it comes from God. But I am carnal. I'm flesh. Introduced into slavery by my nature. Don't you know your nature introduced you into slavery? You became a slave to lust and deceit and anger and violence, and we can go on and on. You heard the manifestations of the work of the flesh. We were sold into that. He sold us out. In the garden, he sold us out.
Yeah, he did.
I know you ain't never sold nobody out. Quiet on that one.
Amen.
For that which I do, I allow not. He said, the stupid things I do, I have absolutely no earthly idea why I do them.
Come on.
I want to.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to.
Yeah.
But I'm driven.
Amen.
Come on, bring it out.
I'm driving. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my no, you didn't. Where your glory? Now you feeling guilty? You said, "What if that was another saint of God who just made a mistake? Maybe it's another Brother Hart." He didn't know what a lane was or what a turn signal was. It was like being in the Flintstone car. You were constantly putting on brakes. He'd be in the outside lane and decide he wanted to get off at the exit, which was 5 feet up. Or if the street was busy, he'd ride down the sidewalk. You would race to get in the back seat. What caused it? What made you lose it at a second's notice and decide that they're wrong, they ain't gonna do me like that, you ain't gonna cut me off? By the time you catch up with them, hopefully you come to your sense.
Thank you.
Right.
I chased a man down for a whole quarter of a mile. When I caught up with him, he had a little sign in his back window, Mickey, that said, clergy. I fought with that the whole day.
Wow.
Repenting, yeah. Feeling sorrowful.
Yeah.
Why? Because the old man said, ha, got you.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why. My perception of it. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do.
Yeah, yeah.
The things that are not morally common sense to be done, I do. I know. I've done quite a bit of it. And it had got out of hand before I realized where I was.
Amen.
But thank God for grace and mercy that'll follow you all the days of your life. And God will intervene if you open up your spirit and let him in. Listen to me. You can be in deprivation and still hear from God. You can still be wrapped up in trouble and still hear from God. You can be lost as two left shoes and still hear from God. Paul said, oh my God, what is going on in here? He is out of control. Oh, no, he ain't. I am.
Right. Real deal.
If then I do that which I would not, I consider to the law that is good. If I do that which I would not, I jointly consent unto the regulations that are good. Now then, there's no more I that do it, but sin. The word sin there is not translated sins. It's translated ancient or old nature.
Come
on.
But the old nature that occupies. Why is Paul writing it to Christians? It's not to worldly folks.
Yes.
It's the born again, Bible toting, shouting Christians.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Said, he occupies along with God.
Yeah.
My God, if I got flesh and God in there fighting,
come on.
Ain't no room for the devil.
Right.
Amen.
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 Glory.
He's too busy trying to get all them that already done accepting him.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. Satan ain't no fool. The most foolish thing he ever did was decide he wanted what God had.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. Like you said, Pastor, he wanted to be like the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
He hid, but he ain't lifted up. Paul realized that there's something down here in me occupying.
Yeah.
I got God in me. Now I'm the same man that sent my clothes. Father, bless her as she goes to minister your word. You bring forth deliverance and healing in the lives of those that are lost, those that are bound. Father, separate them from self. Lord God, reveal yourself unto them and use the woman of God. Let the anointing of God manifest itself through her and Brother Joel like never before. Lives are going to be changed. Salvation is going to draw near. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. God, thank you, Jesus. I'm about to knock this pulpit off this platform. Be ready, man.
Right.
You saw I fell last week. Fell out. I bounced off them chairs. I had bruises everywhere. Well, Andy reminded me. Remember what you said?
Yeah.
If you fall out of the spirit,
right.
I was up and moving. And I've been going all week. First lady, listen up. She said, oh, Lord, look at that. I go, okay. God is good.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
I can write a book on all the foolishness that I have gotten myself involved in the name of love.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And heard God say, no, 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 no.
Right.
The old boy said, yeah. It almost cost me my life.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
But God said,
yes.
Come unto me,
yes.
All ye that are heavy laden.
Yes. Come on. Right. Glory.
Glory.
Thank you.
God was crying out. The guilt was trying to destroy him from past transgressions. That's when he began to write the 7th chapter of Romans. For I know that in me, that is my flesh. He made it plain. I know what's in me. It's my flesh. It's that old Adamic nature that's in me. Ooh, Lord, dwelleth no good thing. Ain't nothing good about my flesh. You may think something good about yours, but ain't nothing good about this old boy. He one of them bad boys that if I give him an inch, he gonna run 2 miles. Not one. Listen to me. You don't want to hear this, but I'm gonna tell you anyway. There are people that have been placed in your life.
Come on.
Not by the devil, but by God.
Right.
Job ain't dead. He's still alive.
Yeah.
Every time God look at you, he said, my good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
Let me show you how much God they got in them.
Amen.
And he said, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Not me. Jesus, I met you on the road. You came to me. I wasn't looking for you. You came to me. Save me. Fill me with your precious spirit and your Holy Ghost. I'm raising the dead. Sending my shirts off around the country. Folks getting healed, delivered from my shirts alone. I'm preaching to thousands upon thousands. Starting churches all over the country. Lord, I can't have this shortcoming. I can't possibly have this problem. Why am I still falling short? I realize, even though I want to do good, Brother Tony, evil is always present. The word evil means depravity or bad in nature. Brother Tony, God didn't take nothing out of me. What he did was replace it with the strength to keep it under subjection.
Man.
But when I allow me to rule me, what God has told me has no more presence or has no more authority. You have to bring yourself under subjection to the power of God. There's only one way you can do it. It's by standing on the promises and this word.
Amen.
And knowing who you are and what you're up against.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to know who you're up against.
Amen.
Well, you're going to lose the fight. Rodney was too young to hang out with us. Me and my brother that passed away, Mike. We used to go to parties and we used to be a bunch of us. And every time somebody called themselves a gang, we thought we were supposed to fight them. Y'all ain't bad. Well, this one day, we was on the west side over there where the Linwood Players called themselves near Central High School. We was in a party. Well, they was up there spouting with the Linwood Players. Well, of course, my brother Michael, who was very violent, decided he was going to show we were the Everline Boys. Next thing I know, we got bricks raining down on us. I got hit in the chest, he got hit in the head, and guess who went to jail?
Yeah.
Avalon.
Yeah.
What did it prove? you better know who your enemy is.
Amen.
Right.
My enemy was my brother. Because if he hadn't got started, I'd never got hit with that brick. But it was my idea to go.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I don't know if you ever been hit with a brick, but it don't feel good. I'm closing. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Paul's saying, I'm now understanding why I do the dumb things I do. Why I got mad at Peter and sent him off when he was only trying to do what was right.
Right. My Lord.
I understand. Mm-hmm. First I didn't. Now I know there's something working in me that provokes me and moves me to do the things I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin. What is the old man? That is occupying and co-inhabiting this vessel.
Yeah.
You say, well, why is he talking about co-inhabiting and occupying? Because for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, which is Christ Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
But then here's the revelation of it all. But I see, I perceive, I don't see it naturally, but I perceive, Sister Angela, another law or something other in my body, in my spirit, other than the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And my members warring, the word warring there translated in the Greek means attacking against the law of my mind. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Paul said then, oh wretched man that I am.
Yeah.
Though I can raise the dead and heal the sick and open blinded eyes and folks get saved and delivered, I'm still a wretched man. Because there's something in me occupying where the presence of God is who ain't afraid of God. He ain't afraid of God. Satan afraid of God.
Yes, he is.
He respects God.
Yes, he is.
The old man don't respect God.
Right.
And if he don't respect God, imagine how he feel about you.
Jesus, come on, Pastor. Come on, just say that.
It says, for he has enmity, hatred against God, or with God. The old man, it says, guess what? If you use yourself to it, you really, don't get mad at me, you have the possibility of hating God. But it ain't you, it's what's in you. That's why you have to fight every day. Fight the good fight of faith every day you get up. You can't allow yourself to be weak or not to keep focused on what's going on in and around your life.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Go.
He says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, Jesus can deliver me.
Yeah.
Who can deliver me from this body of death? But I thank Jesus. He said, Jesus can.
Yeah.
Jesus is the only one that can deliver us from this body of death.
Right.
But you got to live for him.
Yes.
And you got to live in him.
Yes.
No.
Listen to what he says. This is the last scripture. This lets you know what he's talking about. So then, if you don't, I'm at verse 25. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with my flesh, the law of sin. What is he saying? So then with my mind or the exterior, or I have my opinions. I myself serve the law of God or the principles of God. With my intellect or my understanding, I'm going to serve God. But listen to me. But with my flesh, I'm going to serve the law of sin, the principles of the flesh, which are in the book of Galatians. Mm-hmm. For these are the manifestations or the works of the flesh. This is, listen to this. Mind equals the new nature. This is the experience of everyone who is the subject of the grace of God and has received the gift of the new nature as the sign of God's justification. Listen to me. Listen closely. Not the experience of the one man in two successive stages, but the coexistence. This is what Paul was talking about.
Amen.
Coexist, to co-inhabit, yeah, or to also occupy. But the coexistence of the two experiences in the one man at the same time.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Say that.
Amen.
That's why you can have your hands praising God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time say, what's her problem?
Mm-hmm. My Lord, yeah. my Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That's how you're going to be telling somebody about the goodness of Jesus. And somebody say something off to you, and you can say, man, you better get out of my face.
Come on, Pastor.
Right.
Because the both of them are in there.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes,
fighting for supremacy,
right,
and
yes,
authority,
yes,
in your life.
Right.
That's why I said, whom you yield your members to.
Right.
Revelation said you cannot serve two masters.
Right.
Either you will serve the one or the other. We assume that he was talking about serving the devil or God, but it's talking about serving your flesh.
Amen.
Amen.
Or God. When I gave my heart and life to God over the red line, Satan stopped being my master. But I found out later on in life that there was another master in me dictating how I love, how I worship, when I pray, when I study, how I care, how I have compassion. He was dictating to me how I was going to live and serve God. Until I realized God actually came to give me abundant life.
Amen.
So stop blaming your parents or your genetic order,
right,
for some of the circumstances that you are dealing with. Accept responsibility.
Amen.
I started saying, Lord, I screwed up again. Can you ever forgive me?
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you.
God told me, Brother Fred, the bigger your screw up, the bigger my forgiveness.
Hallelujah.
Come on, go shoot. He will go koshi, come on, Mosha. He will go koshi, kosha na. He koshi, come on, Mosha. Shama mo koshi, she will go koshaka. He will go koshi, he will go koshi, he will go koshi.
My people thinking that's strange. All of the fiery trials that you are going through. But understand there is one that is working in thee that wants to destroy all that I am in you. But I have given you power to overcome that nature and the sin of it all. I have given you the anointing that will destroy the yoke of bondage, where you don't have to be entangled with that bondage again. For they are my children, my sons and my daughters of myself. I sent forth my son to the earth that you might know that you can have life, and that the abundancy of that life might manifest itself in your life, that you might subdue all things and call all things even unto order by my spirit, saith God. Therefore rejoice, for in the midst of your shortcoming shall I restore, shall I revive, shall I rekindle, shall I lift up. For I am a powerful and a loving God, and I will not never leave thee nor forsake thee. But I will instruct thee even unto the end, if thou fight the good fight of faith and run this race and have the patience that you need. Know of my people that I am here in the earth, and I'm manifesting myself in a people that dare to believe that they have power over sin, and the sin does not own them, but they own it. Therefore, my children, lift up the name of Jesus with your walk, and you shall draw all men even unto you, as I shall minister unto them, saith God. I was just living this wonderful, breezy life in the Lord until I asked God, what is it that I'm missing?
That's right.
And when he began to show me, all hell broke loose. All hell broke loose. Did I stop wanting to fight? No. I taught a message years ago, Sister Brenda. When I was going through trial, let me tell you how the flesh worked. When I was going through different situations and I just didn't think I could make it to quit, you know those big Coke signs they used to have on the side of the road? I'd pass by one of them Coke signs and my flesh would say, get you a $10 bag, you can forget all about this today. If I had yielded to it, only God knows where I'd be today.
That's right.
I yielded to some stuff, but it wasn't going to be no drugs. But I'm afraid of needles.
That's right.
Yeah. I ain't going to lie to you. We got to poke you. Make sure you hit it the first time. You ain't going to get another chance. I found out, Brother Robbie, there's an enemy that's in me.
Yes.
That wants to deceive me,
yeah.
Trick me, yeah. And seduce me. But what God said is mine.
Yeah.
It's my destiny.
Yeah.
That's why we tell you all the time, you control your own destiny.
Yeah.
God don't control your destiny.
Yeah.
God shows you how to get there.
Yeah.
You control it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
But you don't control it if you can't control you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Don't you think for one minute that me don't want what he wants as much as God wants what he wants.
That's right.
But it don't have nothing to do with God.
That's right.
If you yield yourself to it, it's very easy for you to have a life without God. You'll still talk about him. And you'll remember him. But you won't have a personal relationship with him. This old boy out to get us.
Yeah.
And folks gonna miss God because they got their focus on the wrong thing.
Right. That's right. Amen. 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 Amen.
This had to be some 25, 26 years ago. God let me have it. I didn't understand what he was talking about. My gas got cut off, right? Man, I was blaming the devil. Devil, turn my gas off.
Yeah.
Dirty devil! And I was doing song service one day, and the Lord spoke to me in the midst of the song service, stopped me dead in my tracks. Devil didn't turn your gas off. You didn't pay the bill. If you had to pay the bill, your gas would still be on and you wouldn't be blaming nobody for your own inadequacies.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, you need to leave me alone. I'm up here worshiping God. He said, that's the only time your foolish self will hear me. Is in the midst of your worship. If I talk to you any other time, you'd say it was the devil again.
Come on, Pastor.
So I waited till I caught you in the midst of worship when you had yielded your flesh to God, and I decided I'll tell you what your problem is. You did not pay the bill. You know you got it. You just decided to do something else with the money.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody stand.
Hallelujah.
I used to say, God just ain't fair. He not fair, but he faithful. That's all it says he's required to be. It's faithful. If he was fair, he wouldn't have touched Job's body. Peter told Satan, man, get on out of here. I ain't gonna touch his body. I done took his family. His wife done turned against him. And he don't know that his friend's about to turn on him too. I ain't fair. I'm just faithful. So I stopped saying God ain't fair. Hey, sweetie, put that in my briefcase. She getting that one back to you. Peter, I'm not by myself. We have been through some stuff.
Yes.
We have been through some stuff.
Yes.
I don't let people feel sorry for me. I can do it easy. Shoot, I got two bad knees, a bad wrist, probably a torn rotator cuff from falling the other day, and I'm too fat. God checked me on that this morning. I was going up the stairs just fussing about my knees, Fatima. I said, Lord, now how come you just don't heal my knees and stop me from having to go through this? And God said, why don't you lose some weight? I said, Lord, cut me some slack. I said, lose some weight. Not only will you stop being so heavy on your knees, but you'll live longer. And then Dad come over here today, I've lost 25 pounds. And he looked like, God gonna back up his word. I lost 25 pounds, look. I just told First Lady this morning, sweetie, I gotta lose some weight, didn't I? I love it because she don't let me do it by herself. She said, we're gonna do it together.
That's right.
I hate to get her involved because I'm about to starve to death. I should have kept my mouth closed. We can do all things through Christ Jesus that has strengthened us. And that means controlling ourselves. God's going to search the intents of our hearts. And whatever you got hid in your heart ain't going to be hid from God. And I say this all the time. Because God told it to me. What's in a man, that means man or woman, is going to come out of them at the right time with the right experience and the right circumstance. So you better make sure that what's in you is God. Because remember, he is lurking, waiting for an opportunity to make you look bad. And to show the folks that your God ain't really your God. Because if he was, you wouldn't have did, said, or acted the way you did. They forget that you flesh just like them.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
But we accepted that fact when we accepted Jesus into our lives.
That's right.
So we can't get mad when they say, ain't you supposed to be a Christian? I say, I ain't supposed to be. I am. See ya. Well, sometimes I get smart when I'm told, no, I ain't a born again Christian. I'm a believer.
That's right.
You a Christian. Everybody Christian nowadays.
Yeah.
I won't be a born again believer.
There you go. There you go.
God's got us in his heart, in his bosom. And as long as we abide there faithfully, honestly, and sincerely, God's got us. Take somebody by the hand this morning. Put yourself on the cross. if you put yourself there, then people can't put you there. Because you'll serve God to the fullest of the anointing that's in your life. We're going to pray today. If there are things that you're going through, we're going to bind up everything that ain't like God. And ask God to strengthen us in the most inner part of our being, that we might serve Him in the fullness of who He is and not who we are. Because God is great and He's worthy to be praised. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Keys to pray this morning.
Guilty later, I'm good.
Amen.
Amen.
Friday night won't make no mistakes. But the blessing behind it is that you realize how you got there and how you don't get out of it. We get ourselves in it, but if you love on God, He'll get you through it. I know. I ain't talking to you about something I don't know about. I've seen God change folks' character in the midst of them talking. I've seen God suppress ideas in the midst of the works of it. I know what God can do. If you'll subdue yourself, you'll see the blessings of God. Come on and give God some praise. I know y'all tired of me. I'm not preaching for you. I've been preaching for a while. Wait a minute. Do you have an envelope that you need to break down?